It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Bengals Show presented by the Riverfront. I am your host, Joe Farsing. Point right this time. All right. With me this week, my good friend, hopefully yours, Tim Daniel, Late Night Reds. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on here. Are you as soggy as we are? All the snow's melted now. It just won't stop raining and isn't going to stop for another 2 days.
Yeah, I know. I guess I should go and let our audience know if they hear it. The Bengals Show here on the Riverfront is the latest to get the iris bump. Say hi, baby.
I honestly think that if we could just put a picture of her instead of me, we would pick up viewers left and right. It would just, I really think we need to do that. Just kind of have her sitting there in front of the camera and everything, and I'll just talk off to the side. So if you don't mind me stealing your baby for about an hour every week.
If that gives me time to go to the gym for a day, then I'm in.
That's cool, man. I miss having little kids. My kids are too old and they want nothing to do with me now. And unless they need food or need money for something. So it's cool.
There you go.
Hey, if you guys are watching on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, all that good fun stuff. Since the last time we met, we crossed an awesome threshold on YouTube, didn't we, Tim?
We sure did. Hit that big 1,000.
We are over 1,000. We are amongst the not quite big boys, but we're adolescents, shall we say. So that's a cool little selfish stone that we've been looking forward to. But couldn't do it without any of you guys listening. And I know we don't exactly have the biggest audience here, but appreciate each and every one of you guys watching. If you guys are listening, 5-star reviews. Don't leave any of that crappy 1-star reviews. We're nice people. We don't deserve any of your hatred.
Yeah.
So check us out, riverfrontcincy.com. We've got some awesome merch out there you guys should take a look at. If you guys ever have any ideas for merch or anything, shoot us an email. Tim at Riverfront Cincy.
That would be team. Cool.
Yeah, I'd rather you have to. I mean, you take, or you or Nate have to deal with the emails anyway, so.
Not I, said the cat.
Oh, there you go. Well, if we do Tim at Riverfront, you'd have to take them all yourself, so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into last week's playoff, shall we?
Sure.
There was actually a couple decent games for the first time, because last weekend's games, the wild card round was pretty much flaming hot garbage. This weekend started like flaming hot garbage. Texans and Ravens, it was a 10-10 game at halftime. It did not end a 10-10 game. 34-10, Ravens just outlasted them, just boat raced them. I think that's kind of what we expected. The Ravens are really, really good. The Texans are a year ahead, and they've got a lot of awesome pieces moving forward.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is really good. I don't know if you guys are aware. He, is about to win his second MVP. Maybe this is the year he puts the playoff bugaboo to rest. I mean, he didn't have to throw the ball a lot on Saturday, but ran the ball really, really well. Do you think that this is the year for Lamar?
Unfortunately, yes. It feels like everything's kind of leaning in the momentum of purple and black. Now I know, obviously, the fact that they have to go against the, you know, the bar of the AFC, right? The threshold coming up this weekend. That could tell a different story. But I feel like they're better than them. And I know we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but I just think that Baltimore is better than Kansas City. And I hate to say it, but I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually kind of pulling for the Ravens. I'm tired of Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City is very good. We'll get into their game here in a second. They kick a lot of field goals, and they rely on other teams to kind of defeat themselves. And that's not exactly a winning formula. They have Patrick Mahomes, who's the best quarterback currently playing right now. Apparently, Chris Mad Dog Russo, who's quite possibly one of the worst national commentators. I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand how he has a gig. His voice is annoying. His takes are terrible. It's just another loudmouth New York personality that just gets kind of shoved down our throat because we're supposed to like it if New York does. He put out his list of top 10 quarterbacks of all time, and Patrick Mahomes was one, and surrounded by a bunch of guys that are about 80 years old each.
This is also the guy who said Shaquille O'Neal's not a top 5 center of all time.
Yeah, so taken with a gigantic, I wouldn't say grain of salt, more like a salt block.
Yeah.
He doesn't exactly have the most nuanced of opinions on anything, but
yeah, because I'm normally not a Stephen A. agreeer, but like his response to when he said that about Shaq was like the first time ever that I was like, yeah, he's right.
If you're agreeing with Stephen A. Smith, you know things have gone off the rail, because I think he just says something really loudly. He doesn't believe it. He just kind of wants to say it. So we'll move on to the other AFC game here. The Kansas City Chiefs outlast the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills, I hate to say it, but...
Wyatt Wright.
Why did it have to be...
Wyatt Wright.
Yes, Indiana Jones. It was Wyatt Wright. Tyler Bass and his really stupid one-eye black strip. Pushed the field goal Wyatt Wright. Costing them a chance to at least tie the... to tie the Chiefs. Again, Chiefs played well in the second half. Can't really take it away from them, but I think the Bills are in this current iteration. I think they're kind of done. See, Josh Allen isn't going anywhere. I mean, he's
right.
If he's not, like, there's a legitimate case he and like he's as good or better than Burns, depending on which, you know, how you measure it. He's a fantastic, but I think this iteration, like, it has to be kind of revamped, I'd have to say. That what do you think?
Yeah, I think you know, it definitely looks like the writing's on the wall that this was the end of Stefon Diggs' tenure at Orchard Park. And I think that you kind of saw this is a team that had to get hot to get where they're at, right? Like, this is a team that really struggled quite a bit this year. They came to play Cincinnati on Sunday Night Football, and Cincinnati looked like a Super Bowl contender compared to them. Which, you know, they were, if everything goes right. Excuse me, trying to crawl in the small spaces.
We've been there.
Yeah, and so I think that when you look at that kind of situation there, they have guys they can build up for the future. Like, I love Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
I think he's really, really good.
Absolutely.
So I think they'll be fine, but it definitely feels like they are, we're going to use this as a verb, they're Buffalo Billing yet again.
They didn't even make any Super Bowls this time. At least in the 90s, they, you know, made, and each one got progressively worse. I mean, they missed one by a field goal and then just continued to get their
asses kicked. Yep. This was
bigger and bigger, but
this was the Scott Norwood game.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they got their ass kicked to the Bengals last year. You know, it's history repeating itself.
It's weird because they morphed into this power running team over the basically since they got hired. I mean, after the Bengals game, I mean, they kind of revamped stuff. They played a lot of two tight ends with Kincaid and Dawson Knox, and Dawson Knox was injured and came back. But they played really, really well, and it was successful to them. But this isn't 1993. Power running is only going to get you so far. Josh Allen, 26-39 for only 186 yards. At the end of the game, he just kept trying to chuck the ball downfield, and he didn't turn the ball over, but this is Josh Allen hero ball that kind of bites you in the ass because there are plays to be made in the intermediate routes or underneath, and he's just tossing it downfield. Now, Diggs missed the catch one right through his hands, and there were other catches, but that's you can't expect to hit those 40, 50-yard plays. Are we getting to see some cards? Is that what she's trying to show us?
It's a mouse pad.
Oh, even more fancy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this absolutely seems like the end of this iteration, and they kind of went away from it anyway, but we're going to see different Buffalo Bills teams. They'll still be good because you have a good quarterback and you're dangerous, but so.
Yeah, that long gone are the days of like Matt Barkley starting for them, so.
Matt Barkley, EJ Manuel.
JP Lossman
from Tulane.
Yeah.
Tulane quarterback got drafted in the first round. That's weird.
Yeah.
It's incredibly weird. Saturday night's game in the NFC, Green Bay and San Francisco. Packers just kind of ran out of gas is how it was. It wasn't a bad game by any means. 24-21, San Francisco does win. Jordan Love is, again, it's not fair that Green Bay gets a third straight franchise quarterback.
I know. But this one's not an asshole, so that certainly helps.
And there's time. I mean, we thought Brett Favre was just a fun-loving kind of hillbilly, and you thought Aaron Rodgers was just this weird, free-spirited dude until you find out. And there's still time for Jordan Love to, you know, be found out as kind of an a-hole. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Again, Brock Purdy doing enough. What are your thoughts? I mean, Greg and I have talked a lot about Brock Purdy. What do you think about him? Like, year-wise, like, where is he to you?
I really like him, actually. I think that, don't get me wrong, he's definitely a benefit of the system. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think that people just always do this thing where it's like, well, if you put him in, like, Oakland, he's not going to be very good. I'm like, you know what? No quarterback is going to be good.
Especially because nobody plays in Oakland.
True, but you get what I'm saying. yeah, like, okay, so if you put him in Las Vegas, it's like, he won't be good in Vegas. I'm like, no quarterbacks will be good in Vegas.
Right.
If you put him in, you know, people do this thing all the time where it's like, just let the dude have some success. He's been good. He gives them their best chance to win. So roll with it. And like, he's winning.
Yeah.
He kind of has, like, I hate to say it, and I know a lot of people know where I'm going with this, but he has that, like, Andy Dalton thing where it's like, before the snap, he is super good. He gets everyone in the right spot. He knows the playbook and things like that. And then once the play is going, he relies a lot on the guys around him to make plays. But guess what? Ask Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert, AJ Green how much their bank accounts really appreciate Andy Dalton. And we're going to be seeing the same thing about a bunch of 49ers pass catchers.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, and it depends on, if you're a Bengals fan, I think you appreciate Andy Dalton a lot more now than you did in 2020. Mm-hmm. If you're an outside fan, you look at Andy Dalton as kind of just this mid kind of craps when the spotlights are on. But Andy Dalton is exactly the quarterback. Andy Dalton was a really good quarterback for a bunch of years. He had his absolute duds, and Andy Dalton dud ranks up there with the duddiest duds have ever dudded.
I was at plenty of those duds.
The 0.0, wasn't that a Thursday night game against the Browns?
Yeah, so I was at both of those. Yeah. I was at the nightmare one, and then the next year when him and Eifert went for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
No one talks about that one.
Of course, it's always just the, you know, you always hear the negative because that became the narrative with Andy Dalton, but he was a damn good quarterback that when he had guys around him, you know, he could, you know, 2015, he was a MVP candidate.
Yeah, I was at the game when he broke his thumb. Stupid onto it.
Well, don't throw an interception to a down lineman either.
Yeah, who was that? Gardner Minshew did that this year to BJ Hill?
Yeah, actually, BJ Hill got 2 interceptions in back-to-back games.
That's right, yeah.
He picked off Nick Mullins. I have no idea what Nick Mullins was trying to do. BJ Hill made a good play on the Gardner Minshew one, but on the one to Nick Mullins, like, what?
Hey,
reason you're bad.
By the way, while we're on the top, before we move on, whoa, you have something to say? All right. Does Andy Dalton get the Ring of Honor?
Better question, does Carson Palmer get the Ring of Honor?
No. Do I think he should, though? Yes. Will he? Probably not, because he has
burned really a lot of bridges.
Burned that bridge, yeah.
He won't let it go, man. It is personal with him. I think he really hates the fact that, and it's, this isn't cool. People went to his house and dumped garbage on his lawn.
Oh, for sure.
And that's, don't be that person. It's just a game. There's no need to vandalize or any crap like that. Just let it go. But it's one of those, yeah, not this generation, maybe 20 years down the road, you know, the way we're looking at guys from the 80s, 90s now, you know, compared to how we looked at them then. But I think both of them will get in at some point. I mean, they're both really good quarterbacks for pretty lengthy times. Like Palmer had a higher ceiling than Dalton, obviously, but Dalton was also more successful in playoffs in 5 straight years, including his rookie year when Bengals were expected to go 0-16 that year, and they willed their way to 9-7 and making the playoffs in 2011. So,
yeah, I will say that, you know, obviously we had Shake and Blake for a while there, but I think Palmer probably threw the best deep ball of any Bengals quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Only because Jeff Blake threw moon balls.
Those were high arching parabolas, man. Those almost defied gravity the way that they just, it was.
It's like a Steph Curry 3 where it like has the arch.
Yeah. One absolute one trick pony, but man, it was fun while, you know, the team was terrible, but it was at least entertaining. Palmer, I think, is on the short list of most arm talent of anybody who's entered the league.
Oh, for sure.
We'll call it the Justin Herbert Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And just make absolutely any throw. How effortless he just flicking the ball down 60 yards downfield. Some of the guys, they have to put their entire body, and even guys with decent arms, like, they have to put their entire body behind it to launch a Hail Mary, and he's just absolute down the field. So he's one of those, just, you know, you wish it could have played out better, at least between him and the team, a little more amicable divorce, but things worked out better for both.
I have fond memories of Carson Palmer being the Bengals quarterback, for sure, but there's definitely those kind of things that you're like, that sucks.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever. The organization has changed since 2010. His brother's gotten over it. His brother's a cool dude and a fantastic quarterback guru.
Yeah, yes.
Carson's just better. You made a lot of money, dude. Just you'll be okay, man. All right, Sunday games in the AFC Championship. First game: Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. I think the Ravens are going to kill them. Chiefs are kind of like Rasputin, to where you've got to make sure they're dead and buried. Again, you still have the best quarterback, you know, that they can will them when they need to, but he's got really no one to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
Another Chiefs wide receiver tried to blow the game last week. I've got the Ravens winning 31-13. Tell me I'm wrong, or where do you see it going?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if I have it that high, but I do definitely think this is one of those, like, Baltimore is going to win games. They're hosting the AFC Championship. So, of course, their crowd's going to be really into it. Not that that's something that really bothers Patrick Mahomes by any means. He did just win in Buffalo. But yeah. I do think that the talent eventually is going to throw. And you mentioned Kansas City's wide receivers compared to Baltimore's wide receivers, Zay Flowers. Odell Beckham, as much as I'm not a fan of his, for some reason can still do some good things in the NFL. I think that they're just going to, you know, lace it up, go under center, and they're just going to rock the house out and probably win. I'd say about 27-14.
I think I'm just being hopeful because, again, Ravens cheered when Burrow got injured this year. Ravens are a division rival. But I really like Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson were on any of the other teams in the NFL that weren't in the AFC North, he'd probably be my favorite non-Bengal player. I think a lot of the stuff about his play, like, he's had injuries. He hasn't played well in the playoffs, but he's just, when he is on, he is so fun to watch. How fast he is, how quick he can change direction and run the ball. And we talk about Palmer, how easily he could just flick the ball downfield. Jax, I mean, it's just an absolute missile when he's just,
I know.
And it's a seed 40 yards downfield, and he's hitting Zay Flowers or somebody right in his stride, and you're like, that's not normal. And he can still run a 4.3 40 even after, you know, 5 years in the league or however long he's been around. So fun to watch, except unless you're Nick Vigil and you're getting put in the spin cycle.
that'll be a highlight that plays for eternity.
At least it's Nick Vigil and not Logan Wilson, someone who's actually, you know, we still have to deal with. Like, yeah, that guy sucks. He's gone. Even though Vigil was a decent...
I'll say I had high hopes for Vigil for a bit.
Utah State?
Yep.
Yeah.
Used to come in my branch when I worked in the branches for the bank.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice dude. Him and Ryan Hewitt. Ryan Hewitt was super nice, too.
That was the Bengals' last fullback, I think.
Yeah.
Ryan Hewitt.
Yeah. I liked him.
Yeah. Nick Vigil had a rat tail when he was drafted. Luckily, they got chopped off not long after he came aboard. But yeah, he had a rat tail. That's, I hadn't seen that since 1991, so that's impressive. The other game, NFC Championship game, Lions at San Francisco. San Francisco is a 7-point favorite. Lions signed Zach Ertz, which is really weird that you've got an impact signing the week of the NFC Championship game. That's a huge deal for them. Brock Wright, their tight end, is on injured reserve. Sam Laporta is questionable with injury. So to be able to pull that guy just off the street, this Pro Bowl tight end, he's not the guy he was a few years ago, but he's still a quality tight end. Absolutely helps them, fills a need. I still don't think their defense is good enough to hold up. Even Deebo Samuels is questionable for the Niners. I don't think the Lions defense is good enough to hold up. They had one guy to cover for Tampa Bay over the weekend, and they couldn't. Mike Evans, 8 catches, 147 yards. End of the first half, just letting him get open twice. I think they gave up 2 passes for like 70 yards, which was looked like it was the Bengals out there. So yeah. Where do you see this? I've got a 24-17 49ers.
Man, I want to see the Lions win so bad. Same. I really do. And like, this isn't the Bengals fan of me talking. I understand why Bengals fans hate the 49ers, but realistically, they just beat us. It's not like they like broke Tim Crumry's leg themselves. Right. You know, it's not like the Pittsburgh stuff we've seen in the past.
No bloodlust.
Right. Yeah. It's just they, you know, took our dreams from us. It happens.
Joe Montana's good.
Yeah. Right. You know, arguably the best quarterback ever. I would love to see the Lions win. It's been such an awesome year. I really, really love that team. But it's, you know, San Francisco's so stacked. I mean, I know they lost to Baltimore in the during the regular season, but you can probably still make the case the Niners are the best team in football. And I just can't see a situation where they're not playing in the Super Bowl. They're just too good.
Yeah. The only way that I can see the Niners losing is if either Purdy gets hurt or he just decides he wants to throw the ball to the other team. We'll see what happens. Again, the Lions are so analogous to the 2021 Bengals, and the 2021 Bengals were not supposed to win in Kansas City. Kansas City was the better offensive and defensive team, and the Bengals played it close. Awesome game planning on by Anna Romo on defense and pulled it out at the end. So it could happen. I would love to see it just to leave the Browns. But that Browns be the last team without making a Super Bowl? Jags. But Jags don't count. They've only been around for less than 30 years. And Texans, they've only been around for 20 years.
Yeah, I think you're right, because
Carolina's the teams that predate.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that's cool. Anything more to add some more ignominy to the Cleveland franchise? All four, absolutely. So we're the big cat kind of brothers from other mothers to the Lions anyway, so I want them to win. I just can't honestly project it. So
yeah, I really like Jared Goff, so I'm really happy to see he's found some success and they didn't quit on him and gave him a chance to kind of ride this out, and he's been good.
The narrative of him going to Detroit with Stafford was placeholder. They're gonna draft somebody and replace him. Nah. He was decent in 2021. He had a good year last year, almost led into the playoffs. And this year, I mean, he's had another really good season. So,
yeah.
He's still not, you know, is he 30 yet?
I think he's.
Forget how old he is.
Yeah.
29. He turns 30. Yeah, he just turned 29 in October. So he's still, you know, still a relatively young player. So he's going to be around for a little while. They can, which is nice when you don't have to draft. You traded away your franchise quarterback, and you didn't have to start over. That's really nice when you can pull that off. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right, I actually have some Bengals news and notes to talk about. After years and years of talking about it, Bengals finally are losing a coordinator. Brian Callahan hired by the Tennessee Titans as the head coach. Well overdue. I think the only reason that he didn't get a head coaching gig a year earlier is because teams want someone who's got play calling, you know, history as being a play caller, and he was not.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good hire. Teams are always looking for the hot young offensive guru, as it were. He made a lot of impressions, a lot of good impressions with what he was able to do with the Bengals offense with Jake Browning as quarterback, kind of tailor around. And outside of games when, and I don't think this was even had anything to do with the scheming or anything like that, was outside of Jake Browning just having a couple bad games against the Steelers. I mean, offense rolled pretty well.
Yeah, they did. So, I mean, he did get offensive player of the week 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is a guy who was a practice squad player, undrafted, been around for years and years, and offense, you know, offense was about as efficient as it was with Burrow at any point during the season. So, well-deserved. Possibly him taking his dad from the Browns coaching staff to be the offensive line coach would be another huge plus, just addition by, or subtraction by addition. Regardless, you're making the Brown, making it a rival team weaker, which would be fantastic. So, just a couple hours ago, Dan Pitcher was hired, promoted, I guess, to be the offensive coordinator. This was kind of expected. Mm-hmm. He was the quarterback coach. They did interview Andy Dickerson. They had to interview a few other guys for all the legalities and everything. Andy Dickerson would have been an interesting coach. He's the Seattle offensive line coach, worked with Zach Taylor with the Rams. He's done a fantastic job bringing around, drafting, and developing offensive linemen. So I would not have been mad if Pitcher took another job elsewhere and they went with Andy Dickerson, but they do keep Pitcher. They do keep the continuity. I think they're probably just going to promote Brad Cragthorpe, who was the assistant quarterback coach, and just bring someone else, you know, just bring it up layer by layer. I still would like someone to come from outside the organization, just fresh voices. Again, the offense, if everyone's healthy, the offense is going to be fine regardless of who the coach is. But
right.
I was on with our buddy Jeff Fernipole last week on his show and got into a bit of an argument over whether the Bengals offense is stale. And he was questioning whether if the Bengals lost Pitcher and Callahan. And I said, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I would look forward to having new coaches just to have new voices. Cause they're, I don't want to say boring, but they're predictable. You're always going to line the guys up. And they were trying to go away from it this year before Burrow got injured anyway, running more under center passes. But they were still predictable. Anytime Tanner Hudson was on the field, they were throwing the ball. He had 5 run blocking reps all season. So all but 5 times when he was on the field, it was a pass. So I think they need to find a way to just make teams guess and different voices from outside. And maybe Dan Pitcher has totally different ideas than what Bill Callahan had, and he's just a great sounding voice.
Okay, get some. Joe, sorry.
We're holding on here.
Whoa.
Oh. Okay, got technical difficulties. All squared away, taken care of. So anyway, yeah, I mean, Cragthorpe is probably going to be the guy promoted. Bring someone else in to replace him as the assistant quarterback coach and just kind of run it back with the familiarity that they had. So this week in our off-season series of finding something to talk about for for better part of an hour. We're just doing Bengals positional needs and just ranking them how we see what they need out of, you know, 15 positional groups: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive tackle, guard, center. And then we're not doing all 25 positions, lumping 2 safeties and everything else in together. But so out of the 15 positions I picked, that 15th that I have is kicker. There's no need for any competition.
Yeah.
I think he's Ed McPherson is probably going to get extended this offseason because he's eligible for work. Perfect on kicks inside 50, and no reason to even bring in any competition. He's he's not the gold standard, but he's a damn good kicker. Any arguments?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I mean, you don't think he's a cool, I would probably say, I'd probably put him right behind Justin Tucker.
Shortlist. He's on the shortlist, but Justin Tucker still,
yeah,
Justin
he's still
Tucker.
The best for sure.
Yeah.
But
he was less consistent over 50 than what I expected. But if you make everything under 50, and he was still 50%, if not higher, 50 plus. So I'm not mad at him. I've got, you know, he's one of the top handful of kickers in the league. So, 14th, I've got quarterback. Only reason this isn't last is because Burrow is still coming off an injury in an offseason off of coming off an injury before that. And you technically don't have a backup quarterback signed. Jake Browning is exclusive rights free agent, but he's not on the roster yet. But everyone expects, I mean, Jake Browning's, he's not going anywhere for a couple years. I actually expect them to probably extend him by a couple years just to have him under contract.
Yeah, worst case, you can trade him if they get a good enough offer to.
Yeah. Get somewhere towards trade deadline and someone wants to do something stupid. I do think they're going to draft one just to, someone to throw in the practice squad to develop. I'm going to duct tape glue that in for you.
I know. I'm going to have to here in a minute.
Next spot is not really not even we're talking too much. Long snapper. Again, Cal Itemitis is the exclusive rights free agent. He's not going anywhere. He had zero unplayable snaps. So, next spot, I have linebacker. The starters are back. They both signed contract extensions before last season. Actually, for that matter, Jim Rayne-Pratt was actually free agent, so that was just a brand new deal. They are probably going to lose some of their depth guys. I don't know what's going on with Bailey or Akeem Davis-Gaither. They might lose those guys. Davis-Gaither especially is a guy that might have a chance to get a starting role elsewhere. So they'll need to bring some guys in for depth and for special teams. But they have the two guys. They have the two starters, and that's a good start.
Yeah,
but there will be a need.
You got to think those guys will play better, too. I know this is not the Logan Wilson year we're used to, so.
And I still think a lot of their play, and especially coverage-wise, they miss more tackles than I would have liked to see, and there's no one to blame but them, but I think the coverage issues, just not knowing where the safeties are going to be, because these are all just catches just kind of in between zones where they were just not sure where the safeties were going to be, and that's unfortunately the issue with having a totally new and, for most of the season, rookie and by and large a first-year player in Dax Hill, because Dax Hill barely played his rookie year, so having untested guys behind you, that's unfortunately stuff that was going to happen. So above that, I have offensive guard. Is the Cordell Volson we saw for the last month and a half of the season Cordell Volson going forward, as in someone who is ascending and is a long-term piece, or is Cordell Volson the guy who has 30, you know, upwards of 40 games on film of just being a placeholder until someone better comes by?
That is the million-dollar question. I certainly think he is getting, I mean, I think what we saw is kind of a nice, it's a nice sign, obviously, but I don't know how much longer he'll be able to do just that.
Yeah. We've got some fussy time. having that on film is something that's really good to have, just to show that's what he's capable of, and maybe he made some adjustments. I don't know. They're running all the coaches back. I kind of wish they might have made a change with Frank Pollock, but as you know, they're running it back. Maybe he figured something out. We shall see. But he looked a lot better as it was. I don't know where he goes from here. I think they're going to bring in somebody in the draft. Obviously, they didn't bring much in the draft at all. Alex Kappa is a good guard. He's not a great guard. More low end. I think they bring someone in, maybe a day two or day three pick to just for depth, and in case Volson wasn't real, in case something happens to Kappa, so we shall see. Right above that, and these two kind of go hand in hand, is center. I'm just the entire interior of the offensive line. Ted Karras, absolute great guy. He was had another solid season, but he's kind of a low end to mid tier starter. He's getting up there a little bit in years. You'd think at some point they want to have somebody to take over within the next couple years. I'm not sure, and I probably should have checked this out, what his contract status is. But we will have that shortly here because we're okay. This is 24 is his last year on the. This is last year of his deal, so they need to figure something out at center. So that actually might push that up a notch or two, but we'll see. They might maybe they'll try to extend him to keep him around. What are your thoughts on the interior of the offensive line?
It needs to get better. Very simple. I think and we kinda those guys too, the Kappas, the Karises are starting to age a little more as well.
Yeah.
And obviously Kappa had that big injury the season before, so it wasn't very impressive a lot this year. Kind of left a lot to be desired. So I think you should really kind of, that's a depth piece I really like to see them attack and try to make more of.
PFF liked the interior of the Bengals, at least Kappa and Karras, better than I did, I think. They had them as, both pretty highly rated as it was. Let's see. I'm looking at the wrong stats here. Awesome preparedness by me. I knew this is what we were going to be talking about and didn't have their numbers and everything pulled up. Let's see. Alex Kappa had 64.9 grade. Ted Karras had a 67.4, which those are solid grades. I mean, they're not fantastic, but those are still pretty solid grades. So it didn't look great, and I would not have expected them, especially knowing PFF grades a little wonky, but Karras is 15th out of 36, and Kappa was 24 out of 78, so top third of qualified guards. Yeah, exactly. So and Volson was 42, so he ended up somewhere towards the middle. And if that's what you have, then good. But again, it's the eye test doesn't always match with the grades and everything, and that's on me. I'm not a coach. I don't I don't break down. I don't know all the schemes and techniques that they're supposed to use. A lot of the issues seem like communication issues, which was frustrating because those guys, especially the interior, they've played together every snap for the past 2 years, right, outside of a couple games at the end. But twists and stunts, Volson struggled hardcore on stunts. But again, I do expect them to bring someone in day two, day three, for the interior of the line. So we'll see how they view it. Next up is safety. I don't know how they view this. There's no chance on God's green earth Nick Scott is back next year.
Can't imagine so, no.
No. His contract is such that, they'll be able to get out without a too huge of a cap hit. Is Dax Hill a free safety? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
He didn't look like a free safety. To me, he looks like somebody that they should start grooming to be the slot corner. With his speed and his size, and totally different type of player than Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton is 4'3", 120 pounds, but we'll take Josh Allen. We saw from the playoff game last year, little Mike Hilton absolutely just drilling Josh Allen, taking him down on a blitz. How many times he took down the behemoth that is Derrick Henry. So they're not one-for-one comps in terms of size and style of play, but I think Dax Hill can be an absolute fantastic slot corner. I don't know if the Bengals are probably going to be too stubborn and keep him there, at least to start the season out, but I think they're going to bring somebody else in. I think there's a decent chance that Von Bell comes back.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's his deal. He signed an outsized deal for the Panthers. They're an absolute train wreck. I could see them even, eating however much dead money just to clear house and just to kind of start fresh. I would welcome him back with open arms. Now, Jordan Battle, that guy is an absolute bedrock of your defense for years. For rookie year, he was the 9th rated safety in the entire NFL, highest rated defensive player for the Bengals, highest rated safety. Rookie safety out of the entire draft. He looks like an absolute stud and an absolute steal, a guy that they weren't planning on taking. It just kind of fell to them. One of the reasons why they didn't end up with any tight ends or linemen, offensive linemen in the draft, is kind of like Jordan Battle fell to them in the third round. So I think the next spot that they need to look is edge. And this is now getting up to, these are spots that need to be addressed and stuff that needs to get significant additions in either free agency or the draft is edge. I would hope that they would possibly look at Sam Hubbard as someone who would renegotiate his deal. I like Sam Hubbard. You're not going to find somebody that plays harder on a down-to-down basis, but Sam Hubbard is not a good pass rusher. He's gotten years of, you know, 8 sacks because he plays to the whistle and Trey Hendrickson is flushing the guy to his side. Or 2 years ago when you had B.J. Hill and Larry Ogunjobi clogging the middle and quarterback had nowhere else to go. He's going to get displaced by Miles Murphy. Miles Murphy looks like a legit dude.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah. And again, like I had no problem with the pick. I like the pick. I think Bengals could have gone somewhere where they could have gotten more of an impact from that pick, but the hate that people were giving Miles Murphy, this is the exact trajectory that he was expected to take, kind of barely just getting a few snaps early in the year, working his way up into rotational, and then by the end of the year, a legit dude coming off the edge, and you saw the traits. I mean, the guy's really big. He's 6'5", 275. Crazy quickness, crazy bend. But he's raw. He didn't have a huge repertoire in his pass rush moves. He was drafted that high because of his traits and potential, not because of he was a finished product. If he were a finished product, he'd have been top five. So they still need more coming off the edge. Joe Osai basically became nobody. Again, battled injuries. And you were hoping this is a guy came on strong at the end of last year. Had the unfortunate, the kind of boneheaded penalty at the end of the AFC Championship game. You're hoping this guy's primed to take a step. Now that you're healthy away from the ACL, and he was a ghost. End of the year, you never saw him on the field.
Yeah, like, I didn't notice that.
His snap totals just absolutely fell by the wayside. And I get it. He just wasn't good enough. It's kind of a bummer because this is the guy that they were counting on. This is the guy that they thought they got a steal in 2021 when they drafted him. And, you know, got injured in his very first preseason game, but just wasn't able to kind of keep any momentum going into this year. So, I mean, that was an absolute bummer. Cam Sample is a good depth guy, and he actually provided some pretty good snaps and had some productivity, but pressure percentage at 6%, win percent at 9%, that's not good enough. You need to have better numbers than that. I mean, what do we have here? Trey Hendrickson, his pressure percentage was 11.2, almost twice that, win percentage at 20. That's where you want your edge rusher, especially someone who's just a rotational, just coming in on third downs. You need better than that. So,
right.
They need a dude. I don't know if it's free agency. Those guys always end up getting the gigantic contracts, or if you try to find a gem in the draft, but do need to get some more juice there.
Yeah, I wonder, is the free agent market big at all in the edge rusher? Do we know? Does SpotTrack have that yet?
They do. I've been looking a lot more at the defensive edge or defensive interior. There are a lot of guys to like in both three technique and defensive tackle. And a lot of this is kind of hard to gauge because there's so many guys that are going to get tagged or just re-signed. Danielle Hunter is unrestricted free agent. He's 29 years old. Leonard Williams is an unrestricted free agent. Carl Lawson, we can bring back good buddy Carl Lawson. He's going to come back a lot cheaper than what he left before, left a couple years ago. Chase Young's out there. I don't know what Chase Young's going to get. He's definitely not going to get what they thought their contract. He was drafted the pick after Joe Burrow, and they didn't pick Washington didn't pick up his fifth-year option, and they ended up shipping him out to San Francisco.
Do you remember, okay, that you say this, it makes me laugh, because there was that group of Cincinnati Bengals fans who said they should draft Chase Young first and be bad again so they could just get Trevor Lawrence the next year? How does that look now?
There were some really dumb takes, and the only draft what could be question that I will even entertain is Sewell versus Chase, and they absolutely nailed that pick anyway because they made the Super Bowl. People still come back to that because the line hasn't been good. You trust this team that has sucked at drafting, developing, and bringing in offensive line free agents to develop another one? Hey, I'm not saying don't draft I'm not saying don't draft any, you know, bring any guys in because you need those guys, but I don't trust that they would have made that Penei Sewell would have been any good, or wouldn't have had his struggles.
Yeah, and I mean, he's obviously really good, don't get me wrong, but the people who are like, you know, if they get him, he could be Anthony Munoz. I'm like, I think that you guys are really underestimating how phenomenal Anthony Munoz was at his job.
Yeah, Anthony Munoz is legitimately the best offensive lineman in the history, 100-plus year history of the NFL. So let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Next pick I have running back.
Yeah, that's an obvious one.
I don't know what they're going to do. Again, I've been saying it for a while. I'm cool with them letting Joe Mixon go. Yeah. I'm not saying Joe Mixon is terrible. I'm not saying he's washed. I'm saying Joe Mixon doesn't fit this offense really well. We talk about making your team less predictable. If Joe Mixon is in, he's going to run the ball. He's a terrible pass blocking running back. Like, just some of the reps, you've just seen some of the reps of him out there. It's just laughable.
Joe, get down. They're coming.
And it's like, this is your seventh year in the league, or how are you still this bad? And by God, they ran him into the ground at the end of the season. I mean, they're still giving him 20 some odd carries when you've got Chase Brown, the guy that you probably should look, that you probably want to see, that, you know, that you need to see, is this guy part of the future? And they still rode him. Who does he have pictures of? I don't get it.
Yeah, I was just looking. It's funny you said that. I was looking earlier today. I was looking at free agent running backs and potential targets, and looking at, of course, just the stupid like betting odds that the people always do. Like, this guy could go with this team, and the Bengals were among the highest at signing Saquon Barkley.
They were there for Derrick Henry. They're there for Derrick Henry too.
Yeah, between the two, I would definitely prefer Saquon Barkley, just because Derrick Henry's got a lot of wear and tear on him. Even though Barkley has a torn ACL, those were a lot of reps he didn't have to take that year.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine the Bengals are going to go the route of either of those guys.
Derrick Henry is 30 years old. I mean, Josh Jacobs is young. I mean, he's only going to be 26 going into the season. But no, if they're getting somebody, it's going to be someone who was a part-time player, maybe A.J. Dillon.
Now you're talking. Yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah. I would, if he wasn't always hurt and now he's coming back off of an Achilles, J.K. Dobbins is a dude that, you know, a fantastic running back.
Someone said Rex Burkhead.
Running back. Absolutely running back. Why don't we get Alex Erickson while we're at it?
Yeah, no kidding. I saw Giovanni Bernard was at the stadium this year calling some radio. You think he's busy?
He's got a pass now for photography too.
Oh yeah, he does.
He covers the game. Like, that's kind of cool. There's Junior does photography now. Randy Johnson's he's an actual wildlife photographer. Some of his stuff is fantastic.
So Randy Johnson actually in this year's Bowman set there's a special set of his pictures that he took.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like the old Walter Yost. He was the old famous photographer from Sports Illustrated. Rest in peace, Sports Illustrated. He was their famous photographer, and he had, I can't remember if it was Tops or Upper Deck, somebody had a special line of portraits that, you know, that he was taking the portraits of for baseball cards. So I got to get some of those Randy Johnson ones. That was my dude, man. Same. Huge, scary ass left-hander. You're a left-hander too, so you get it.
Yeah.
We stick together.
One day, so. I did want to point out before we move on, if they do go to the route of free agent, Tony Pollard, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are going to fight to keep Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
But he is going to be available this offseason because they tagged him last year. So that is a name that really intrigues me, for the sense of, if you do go the double head thing that they should do with Chase Brown, where you have Chase Brown kind of be more of your third down, third and short kind of guy. I still, you know, Tony Pollard is a guy who can hit the hole. He can kind of keep the possession going, be your two down back, but then you get Chase Brown to come in. This is obviously me talking like I'm playing fantasy football. I understand that. But I think Pollard's a great name. I've seen DeAndre Swift's not going to be available because I don't know what's going to happen with Philadelphia. It sounds like a lot of things might be going different for them next season.
Yeah, they know the team's going to ramp.
So I think that's a good name. I really don't hate the idea of Saquon Barkley. I just don't want him getting 90% of the carries.
Devin Singletary.
See, I like him a lot too.
Actually, the guy who I think I'm, it seems too obvious because of the college, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, yeah.
He fell out of favor.
God, he hasn't also had, like, what do you have, like 20 carries this year?
Didn't have a lot. So he doesn't have the doesn't have the wear. I mean, he's got 1,300 snaps in four seasons. He had 70 rush attempts this year, 71 last year. Isaiah Pacheco obviously took that job, but again, let's run back to 2019.
If they
Minnesota Vikings or Minnesota LSU Tigers, and we'll trade get Jay Jettas from Minnesota Vikings. Let's do it. We'll even bring back Thad Moss. Bring it on. Let's go.
So I think if you look at the 2020 College Football National Championship game, I think everyone that scored a touchdown in the game except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Justin Jefferson, well, I guess Trevor Lawrence, secondly, at one point played for the Bengals.
That's fantastic. T. Higgins. Who else?
Jamar. Burrow. Yeah, I mean,
Jamar and Burrow. I'm thinking who else? Like who? Was it just those other two guys?
Thad Moss has a touchdown in the game.
Let's run back 2019. I mean, we had Tyler Shelvin. We'll bring his big old fat ass back just to carry Joe around. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next position, wide receiver. It's a 95% chance. 99.999% chance that T. Higgins is back on a tag. I think it's a 5% chance he's extended before the season. I think possibly, or most likely, probably 80% chance that this is his. They're tagging him this year, and then he's a free agent next year. Which I think is kind of dumb because you're just getting a comp pick back, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you're better with T than you're without him.
Right, right. But my point is, if you're going to tag him, extend him.
Yeah, I agree.
What he's going to make on the tag is about per year what he's going to make extended. He's not a number one receiver. They talk one on one. He's not. He struggles to get open versus man coverage because he's not quick. He's big. He's strong. He's tall. He can jump up over top players. And with the ball in his hand, I mean, I love the way that he attacks after he catches the ball. He lowers his shoulder and puts his head into the defender to try to run him over. Love that guy, and he's an absolute gamer, but if you're going to go through all that, then just extend him.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Say that five times fast, Tim. As far as potential, you just bring all the LSU guys back. And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the names that really intrigued me for the Bengals where they're picking was, of course, Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU. Because we talked about last week when I hung out with you and Greg about just the need for speed on this team. And he's certainly a guy who can kind of kick into that gear. I mean, he's not Jamar fast, but certainly a guy who can probably give you a little bit more as far as separation than T does in the speed range. And also, you know, being 6'4 and 205 pounds doesn't hurt either.
Doesn't hurt one bit. The main reason that they need that this is a positional need is slot receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to be the slot receiver. Tyler Boyd, hell of a career. 513 catches for your career. That works well. 6,000 yards on the nose. Possibly Ring of Honor. We'll see. Definitely Ruler of a Jungle at some point during, but he's not coming back. I don't say he fell off a cliff, but man, he struggled at points this year. I mean, how many easy drops did he have? I mean, they'd have won the damn
Texans game.
If he'd have just caught an easy pass in the end zone. A couple other just kind of brain dead drops. Now, they drafted Charlie Jones as a potential replacement for him last year. Charlie Jones isn't ready to take over that spot. He needs to spend a lot of time in the weight room. He's not strong enough, especially over the middle, contested catches. He's got speed, and that's what you need, but that's what they were missing, you know, especially from Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd never was a speed merchant. Like he ran like a 4.6 at his pro day or the combine, whatever. But I don't know what they're going to do. I think that there's a good chance. I mean, there's always wide receivers that they can bring in. Looking at the free agent list, it's really overwhelming to look at. Tim's frozen there. Are you with us, Tim?
I'm here. My computer's okay. Been doing this for 2 weeks now, and I can't figure out what it is. It's always okay. It's only on StreamYard it does this.
Okay. So I didn't know whether I needed to keep talking until you came back around, or if you still had ears on. So, but there's absolutely. I think it's going to be a battle for that slot right receiver spot. I would almost like them to use Jamar a lot in the slot, and I want to see them utilize Yosavash. I'm just a huge fan of his and think that he's got so much ability that they can take advantage of because he's got the size, almost the size of T. Higgins, but he also has the speed of Jamar Chase. So, hey, we have moving pictures again.
It's a great Rush album.
Yeah. Yeah. Any Rush album is a great Rush album.
True.
God love Canada. So, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do.
Totally passed out on us during the show.
She's out.
Yeah.
So, after wide receiver, I've got punter. Obviously, this is an important need. Rookie punter struggle. So, it wasn't a big deal that Brad Robbins was struggling the first handful of weeks. Then, middle of the season, he kind of picked it up. He looked like, okay, he's got the nerves out, you know, and he's at least going to be able to kick the ball hot, you know, a lot of hang time. He might not kick it 55 yards like pretty much everyone else can, but you kick it high and they got a fair catch. Cool. He just got worse and just after a few games of optimism, then it just was awful. So they're absolutely going to bring someone in for competition. I mean, Robbins will be back in camp at least, but they're absolutely bringing someone back in for competition.
I used to always crack up if you listen to Dan and Lap during the game and be like, and Darren Simmons just yelled at Brad Robbins again on the sideline after that punt. It was like every week.
It's just hurt my soul watching that man punt. Everybody has a punter who can just hammer it 55, 60 yards. And he's struggling to get 45 yards with a bounce. Or his one specialty are directional punts and hang time. He's kicking it in the end zone for a touchback from the 40. I'm like, you can't even get one to check up from the 40. Why even punt? Just go for it. Anything third or anything fourth and less than 10, go for it. Hell with it.
Right.
You're only gonna give up 15 yards of field position. Next, but now we're getting into where there's big needs. Tight end. Tanner Hudson is a nice depth piece. Tanner Hudson is not the guy. And there's a lot of people that don't really pay attention to the actual anything outside of like hot opinions. Tanner Hudson is going to be 30 years old. He's a nice piece to have, and I'm fine with him starting the season as a tight end one, but they need somebody who's a long term. Yeah. Drew Sample is going to be back. He's a free agent, but there's no way they're letting him go. He showed a lot of worth, and I think the anger of him being a second round pick from when he was a second round pick has subsided. He became their third down. I mean, he became their pass or pass protection back, which was fantastic. They just bring him in kind of as an H-back. Leaked out, made a couple athletic moves, so.
Plus, I think, you know, this idea of this, like, round, this, like, you know, revolving door of tight ends to the Irv Smiths. And guys like that, the Hayden Hurst. I would really like to see them kind of make that a little bit more of a focus. You know, CJ Uzomah obviously wasn't the best tight end, but he was here, you know, for a lengthy amount of time. So maybe, you know, if you can get someone that you can get for like a 2-3 year deal that's actually going to catch passes for them, I think might be a good route.
Yeah. Again, I still can't believe that they didn't draft anybody last year. Like, legitimate historical draft, and they didn't draft anyone, but I don't know. There's a lot of good names out there on the free agent market. Now, Hunter Henry's a little bit older. He's a free agent. He's going to be 30. Dalton Schultz, they've got him. Spotrac has his market value at 11.3 average annual salary. I think that's a guy that makes a lot of sense. I don't know if they're going to want to put that much money on a tight end since they didn't put any last year, but Mercedes Lewis is still a free agent.
He still plays football.
He's listed as a free agent. He was actually signed. He was on the Bears active roster this year. 39 years old.
I was going to say, is he 49?
39. He played 316 snaps, had 4 catches, 29 yards, and a touchdown. Oh, my good Lord. Drafted 17 years. Good. Wow. 2006. I was a young man in 2006. I was freshly married in the 2006 draft. Didn't have any kids. World in front of me. Wow. I can't believe that. That is surprising.
The Bengals took Jonathan Joseph in that
draft. That was a good pick. That was... Yeah. Is he South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that worked out really well until we went to the Texans, but... They had locked down him and Leon Hall. Those guys were locked down for a couple years. I miss those guys.
Were. Yeah, they were good.
So we absolutely skipped over cornerback. We were talking about safeties. I've got cornerback kind of in the middle of the in terms of need. Cam Taylor Britt and DJ Turner are your starters going forward. DJ Turner kind of tired out as the year went on. We'll touch on these last ones here pretty quickly. Mike Hilton is still around for another year. I don't think Chidobe Awuzie is going to be back. I think someone's going to probably offer him a chance to start. Bengals aren't going to offer that. And he wasn't great coming off the knee injury. He had back injuries. So they're going to need to bring some guys in for depth. But they're set with the starter.
Yeah.
So definitely see some late round picks like DJ. Actually, DJ Ivy showed a lot of promise until he got hurt.
I liked him.
Was that the play before DJ? It was right.
It was like the play before the play after.
Yeah, I think he got hurt on like the punt coverage, and then DJ Reader got hit on the first snap or something like that. They were right after each other. All DJs went down. The only DJ healthy was DJ Tanner. So
yeah, shout out DJ Tanner surviving the DJ monsoon.
That's impressive. So, okay, next spot, offensive tackle. Bengals don't have a right tackle.
Right.
I don't think they're bringing Jonah Williams back. I think that most likely. This is going to be addressed in the draft at 18. There's a lot of offensive playmakers that are going to go really high in this draft. You're going to have 3 or 4 quarterbacks, 4 or 5 wide receivers, all going in the top 10, 12 picks. I don't know about running backs, but there's also Brock Bowers is going to get picked up there. I think the Bengals are going to have their absolute pick of several highly rated tackles. Don't know what's going to happen once they put on the stripes, but they've got a good chance to get a blue chip tackle coming out of the draft. I don't know if they want to keep going down the route of free agents. They spent so much money. They still have so much money tied up in the offensive line, and it hasn't worked out, so dumping all that money just doesn't make a ton of sense. I can see them bringing someone in for depth, just for a in case the rookie isn't ready to start from the jump, maybe George Fant or something like that. I don't know, but I think that spot's absolutely going to be addressed in the draft in round one.
Probably should be, yeah. Probably the ideal situation.
Yeah. And if that spot isn't addressed in the draft at spot one, this next one is defensive interior. This was the absolute weakness of the team. I like B.J. Hill. B.J. Hill's a decent player. He's not a great player. He's a lot better when he's got someone who's comparable talent level to him, splitting snaps. I mean, he and Larry Ogunjobi were an awesome, fantastic duo in 2021. If they can bring someone in that can give comparable productivity, I would absolutely do it. DJ Reader, obviously, he's a free agent. Now he has a knee injury. I can see him signing back with the Bengals, but what are you getting?
Right.
You would not know.
We just went through this last year with Chidobe Awuzie. Obviously, different positions, but I wonder if that kind of is like a thing where they look at that as being kind of be a little bit more precautious with bringing these guys back. And
yeah, there are a lot of names for the defensive tackle and the free agent market. A lot of huge names. Chris Jones, I don't think the Bengals are going to pay that, and I don't think they should. I mean, Chris Jones is a fantastic player, but I just don't see that being a match. The guy I would open up the pocketbook for, Justin Madubuque. Worse than a rival if you take him. He had 13 sacks this year for the Ravens. Guy's just gotten better year after year, just getting more and more snaps. He still only took 70% of the snaps, so you can cut his snaps down, pair him with B.J. Hill. They still need to get a actual nose tackle to take snaps that DJ Reader was getting. Again, there are a ton of names on the free agent market. I would expect them to go that route instead of draft, because I don't know if there's going to be that guy available, at least at a spot where you can get someone that you can project to give a relatively early impact. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on defensive interior?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the best situation. If you look at the difference between the 2022 defense and the 2023 defense, that was kind of the thing that jumped out the most. And that kind of sets the tone for everything. You know, you can, if you get the interior rush, it makes things a lot easier for your linebackers, make things a lot easier for your secondary. And if you look at this team not kind of getting to have that advantage really in any game, it really kind of set them back quite a bit. So I would love to see them do nothing more than that. Yeah, you mentioned, I don't think Chris Jones is the ideal candidate for the, just because of where the Bengals start timeline is, but there's going to be plenty of options out there between the draft and free agency.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, again, we're still several weeks away from, probably 6 weeks away from free agency starting, and who knows even what names are even available right now, how many of them are going to get re-signed, tagged, how many guys are going to get restructured or cut too. So I mean, I don't want to get too much into actual names at this point until we get closer to free agency, but Bengals have the fifth most amount of cap room, and they're going to have to be somewhat creative with how they structure these, because Burrow's contract's going up and up, but so does the salary cap. So everyone that hems and hauls over quarterback contracts, you really shouldn't. It's salary cap numbers are completely made up and just fungible, because you restructure and you move money around, so it's really not that big of a deal. So,
right.
Tim, what's going on around the riverfront this week?
Well, we've got NBA Friday this week. We're going to do the all-time University of Kentucky basketball draft. So try to put together our top all-time UK rosters.
Is it best players in Lexington or best players?
Best players from Lexington to go to the league.
Okay, so I mean, so Sam Bowie isn't disqualified because he immediately got, or
Sam Bowie was pretty awesome. I think people seem to forget that.
Right. A lot of it is kind of measured to who was drafted, in front of him. But like, you look at guys like got injured, like Derek Anderson and stuff like that. Like, those guys were fantastic, but didn't make the impact on the next level. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it best college players or best NBA players that happen to go to Kentucky?
Yeah, so best NBA players that happen to go to Kentucky.
Okay. Okay.
That'll be up on Friday. Late Night Reds on Sunday. We're going to, Ben and I are going to keep doing our thing. Check out Riverfront Red Show on Fridays as well with Chad and Nate. And then Riverfront U, big week. We just had we were at Kansas for the UC Kansas game. Ryan was there. So we have NKU tomorrow. I mean, I guess Thursday for when this goes up. Yeah. We'll be on national TV. They'll be on ESPNU tomorrow, today, on Thursday. So check that out. We'll be there as well. So it's going to be a fun week.
And we debuted a new show on the Riverfront. We did.
Yeah. Check out our good friend Seth Shaner. He's been kind of making his rounds amongst the Riverfront the past couple weeks as well. So Red Leg Roundtable, I know his next episode, he's going to be interviewing Scott Hatterberg.
Scott Hatterberg, Chris Pratt himself. That is awesome.
Star-Lord coming to the Riverfront.
How do we get that? Plus the Xavier Show.
Yeah, plus the Xavier Show. I had Zach the Xavier Show for the first one. So working on getting a guest for episode two. Have some things in the park pipeline. We'll keep you guys posted.
Two Holloway, that'll go really well with the UC fans.
I would love to have Two Holloway.
Him and Mark Lyons, I actually, that would not go over well at all.
Yeah, I would.
sit down with those two guys, Kenny Freeze and Yancey Gates and Tay Ellis.
Kenny Freeze was on Sean Miller's podcast this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't hate Xavier. Again, I'm a UC fan. I'm a huge UC fan, but I don't hate them. I mean, I've got a lot of family that went to Xavier. Like, it's in my blood, but I still got a needle, and UC's my team, so.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
So, hey, that pretty much puts a needle into this episode. Any final words before we get out of here for the week?
No, sir. Hopefully, for love of God, we have Bengal stuff to talk about even in the near future, so.
We will have an assistant quarterback coach to talk about next week.
Yeah.
Big things happening. This is NFL offseason is really incredibly long. You had all this build up to free agency, and free agency is over in approximately 45 minutes.
I know. The NBA is the same exact way.
And I guess it beats the alternative to where the MLB free agency is almost 3 months in, and there's still the NL Cy Young Award winner of this past season is still looking for a deal.
Cody Bellinger still looking for a deal.
Cody Bellinger is still looking for a deal. Like, it's weird. Like, you don't want to synthesize something to make it like fake and to put urgency in it, but dude, figure this out, man. Just sign guys. Like, pitcher the catcher's report in 3 weeks from today.
I know, man.
Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's exciting. Love is in the air. So,
I'll be at Xavier UConn women's that night, seeing Paige Buechers play.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
So, I've got some cool ideas for shows coming up over the off season. If you guys have any thoughts, anything you guys want to see from us, hear from us, let us know. Again, team@riverfrontcincy.com. Outside of that, everyone have a great weekend. Yes, go Chiefs, go Ravens. I don't know. Both teams.
Go off season.
Yeah, exactly. Just go NFC in the Super Bowl is what it comes down to. All right, everyone. We'll see you.